What is going on, Boiler Nation? It is Monday, September 1st. Happy Labor Day to everybody. And you're listening or watching an episode another of the Boiler Breakdown Podcast. I'm your host today, Evan Webb. Tanner, as you can see, if you're watching, is not with us today. He's on vacation, but you've got me and Aaron in the house. Aaron, how you doing today, man?
It's a great day. Great day to be American, celebrating Labor Day. Best holiday weekend of the year. Can't beat it.
Yeah, football starting, NFL right around the corner, you know, especially if you're in kind of central Indiana today. The weather has been immaculate the last week. It's hard to beat.
And Notre Dame lost last night.
There you go. But yeah, we're for the first time in over a year, we are talking about a Purdue football victory. Last Purdue football victory came on August 31st, 2024. As the Boilers pitched another shutout to start the year, this time against an FBS school versus an FCS school, beating the Ball State Cardinals 31-0. As we kind of talked about last week, Tara and I, neither of us were at the game, but Aaron, you were there. Why don't you just kind of give your thoughts on how the vibes were, how the, I mean, obviously the crowd looked awesome for, you know, given the opponent, given what we came off of last year, and just give your overall thoughts.
Yeah, crowd showed up. You know, even coming off 1-11, you kind of skeptical, but they definitely showed up. There's definitely a lot of angst, I think, to get the season going, given that how we finished last year and wanting to see what the, you know, new regime is going to look like. There was definitely angst. I got in early to watch some warmups and watch the center QB exchange, and there was some angst there. So you can definitely say that there were some nerves all around on the field and in the stands. But when that first whistle kicked off and when Worlds Collide ended and first play went, it was all Boilermakers from there.
When you say angst, was it just like you just, was just a nervous energy by everybody, or what was just excitement, or what do you think?
It was both. I think excitement because 18 new players on this roster. We only know a few more. Angst in regards to, hey, you know, we've done this before, or, you know, could this be 1-11 again kind of deal? But overall, I think as fans, alumni of Purdue, you had to be, you know, impressed, especially how, I mean, I thought last week this game's going to be sloppy. And, you know, three penalties for 25 yards can do better, but can't ask for more when you've only been together for a few months as a team.
Yeah. And we saw, you know, Purdue start out, I mean, do something that they really hadn't done all year last year, which was have kind of an explosive play, you know, three plays later. Once Purdue got the kickoff, we found ourselves in the end zone. Ahmad Branch took a pass. I can't remember what the actual yardage was.
I think 40, it was 46.
Yeah, 46 yards to the house for a quick score. So, the Barry Odom regime, or the Barry Odom era, kind of got off to a pretty exciting start, that's for sure.
It definitely got off to an exciting start. Hearing his press conference on the way home and also hearing it today, it sounded like that was the name of the game in regards to the Henson had those plays scripted, because they were wanting to see how this Ball State team and defense would react, and they didn't adjust till later because I think they were a little surprised by, hey, all these new players and you're going and pushing the ball downfield. And I think that took them off guard, especially that first series.
Yeah. You kind of saw, I think we all kind of thought that the passing game would be slow to develop with this team, as we kind of talked about last week, just because of kind of how we know Odom, how he's kind of talked in, you know, all through training camp of like, hey, we're going to establish the run, that kind of thing. And I mean, I think Ball State kind of planned for that too, as we kind of saw a lot of, you know, they really stacked the box and did a pretty good job of containing the run for the most part. Obviously, you know, we didn't have a big day on the ground like we were hoping we would.
Let's file that, because I don't think they really wanted to make an effort either. I think it was a lot of RPOs.
Yeah.
And I think the name of the game was running the ball, because I mean, Brown threw the ball 26 times. And completed 18 passes over at 311 yards. I will say,
and no picks, which is a big thing.
Yes, but there was a lot of plays that Andrew called out, and I can agree those picks would have been picked. Those would have been picked in Big Ten play for sure.
Oh yeah. For sure.
But I think they wanted to establish the ground, you know, in those RPOs and move the ball. There was a few plays in regards to when Maccabee scored. That was definitely a push by the offensive line. That's when I saw the aggressiveness up front outside the first series, because that second quarter was kind of lackadaisical. You saw coaches get involved on the sideline. The sideline itself in the second half was just engaged. Is all get out, which was not what we saw under Walter's regime. But they definitely, you know, that pass to Michael Jackson for the score too. It just, they were wanting to establish, you know, an air raid kind of game and kind of put that on tape. And I would say that they're probably thinking that we're going to establish, you know, the pass to run the ball and spread out the defense and get our matchups one-on-one up front.
Obviously, you know, defense pitched a shutout. Obviously, we had help with the fact that they missed two field goals. They weren't even difficult ones either, I don't think, but credit's due. I wasn't able to watch the game, but I was able to find some compilations of all the plays. And what I saw on defense, it looked like just a bunch of guys like really swarming to the ball, looking like they, in some capacity. It got a little sloppy there in the end of the second quarter, early third quarter, if my memory serves me right. Yep. But it looked like guys knew what they were supposed to be doing, which it felt a little different compared to what we saw last year.
Eye discipline and gap discipline.
Yeah.
Definitely was big plays. I was watching up front and I was watching the secondary. They were keeping Kelly in check. Kelly really made a lot of those plays by himself. And that's why they had over 100 yards rushing. It was strictly him, because he did beat some of the backers. I know Rael, I think that's how you say his name.
Yeah, the DB,
Yes, I mean, he had the most tackles with 7 overall, but Manny Powell and Charles Correa,
awesome,
Yes, they were flying to the ball, and there's a reason why Manny Powell was on preseason Buckeyes Award watch list, and today, like Saturday showed it. Pressure, there wasn't, you know, pin ears back kind of from the defensive line, because it was more, hey, we're respecting his speed. Played different positions outside of quarterback before, so we're going to put gap discipline. But when it was time, sure, turned on the pressure and overloaded one side and didn't get a sack in a third down situation.
Yeah, one player I didn't see many stats for, I'm trying to see right now, which actually probably is a good thing, was Tony Grimes. Obviously being a captain, he was kind of a guy I was like, you know, I looked at the stats like, man, like it looks like he had one assisted tackle and that was it. And like, I saw people talking on the boards. I was like, actually it's a good thing, because it means they weren't going towards his way. As Cameron says, focus on our draft. I'm in the middle of a fantasy football draft right now at the same time. This is poor playing on my part, but I can multitask a little bit. I'm drafting in, I'm doing both. But I think the fact that he didn't have a lot of activity shows, I think that they were respecting his side of the field and not, and he's either was one, his coverage was that good to where they just weren't throwing his way, or they just knew going in that, hey, this is a guy that's going to give us problems. Like, let's look opposite of where he's at in the field.
They definitely were. I will say that even the side that they were throwing to, Coffey was right there, and Coffey, I thought was going to lay some folks out. I was wrong about him being my player of the game, but I think it's going to happen eventually. The guy's definitely a ball hawk. But they definitely respected Grimes. They definitely had some troubles up front, but they did. I will say, Coach Yu is, I think they refer to him as. I mean, he did make some adjustments in game. That was, I think if you're a Ball State fan, you got to play Auburn this week. So sorry, but I would be encouraged when you kind of move forward, because he definitely made some adjustments, and and the staff was kind of a little taken back by how quickly they made in-game adjustments there in the second quarter. So that's a promising thing for Ball State, I think, to look forward at and kind of hang your hat on, that this coaching staff can make adjustments on the fly. But honestly, going back to hard, smart, tough, one out. And that definitely ringed true to this, you know, team so far. I know Odom stated today, this isn't a finished product.
Oh, yeah. You'd hope it wouldn't be. Yeah.
Oh, no. And I think it's not. I think he was not happy about the three penalties for 25 yards. The one of them was the defensive clap, like interference. Like they were clapping because a guy jumped off sides and they called it on the defense when it was a false start on the offense.
Okay.
So that was a horrible, horrible call by the officials. But other than that, I mean, Ethan Trent, false start. I mean, it was down in the student end zone there in the first half and the students were ramped up because we had just taken them out. Three out of four drives that first quarter, three and out.
Yeah, that was one thing I like this that I saw from just kind of as a what I was able to catch afterwards is just the lack of dumb stuff that happened, and watching the highlights look like as we kind of talked about there was some missed tackles, some looked to be a little bit like hey they were going full speed, you know. Sometimes that just happens. What was from your point of view, what was, because obviously it did look like we kind of got sluggish a little bit there where we weren't as tight as we should have been. What kind of caught your eye and what did you see from a coaching staff that maybe we didn't see last year? And as Thad Mooney says, 364 days since last one, we got toughened up. Happy Gilmore, probably.
Yes. I'll go with what Odom said, though, on that. Yes, there was some inconsistencies on being in position to tackle. That definitely showed there was too large of space or they pursued too much to one side. Mm-hmm. And that was inconsistencies on tackling. I don't know how much you're going to clean that up because now you really don't want to hit guys going in the season. So they're going to definitely have to clean that up, but definitely closing on the space. I will say the one thing – definitely different from last year was there was guys around the ball. So it was not like, because going back to gap discipline, eye discipline, that was there, but it was, hey, we're maybe a half a second late on a lot of things.
Yeah. Whereas last year, like if one guy missed, it was just like the whole play was.
Jeremiah Love's going down the sideline.
Yeah.
I definitely saw those positives that you can definitely build off of. And I think this coaching staff is going to, I think regardless, it's hard to pitch shutout college football. So
it is. Yeah.
I the defense has got to say, hey, hang your hat here, but we have a lot of improvement we can definitely make.
Yeah. I think part of it too was, I mean, no offense to Ball State's core, but like, I mean, some of those throws were just like, he just couldn't make them. Like it just wasn't a great throw. Whereas, you know,
he had Magwood wide open on one that he overthrew.
Yeah. Or, I mean, like, you look at, like, you know, like, from a defense standpoint, like, some of those times I saw that Ball State's quarterback threw something, it was just like he underthrew a guy. It's like, you know, CJ Carr's probably making that pass at Notre Dame, like, or USC's making that pass. It's like, so it's hard to tell. I mean, like you said, like, it's hard to pitch a shutout, so credit where credit's due for the defense doing that. Now that we've gone back-to-back years pitching shutouts on the first game of the season, how do you feel this year compared to – last year with the shutout against Indiana State?
Better. I'm not going to say I'm going to slam the computer and say, hey, 6-6, we're going to a bowl game, or 9-4, let's build this guy a statue. I think there's a lot in regards to establishing a culture here, and I think that's what this place has been lacking for a long time. I mean, Brom had a culture. But, I mean, it also was a culture of undiscipline. I mean, Brom lost us the game against Syracuse. As a head coach, you can't lose a game yourself.
Yeah.
You can't put yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
I can definitely say this coaching staff has bars, especially hearing today and how that, like, Tom asked, you know, who do you name player of the week? And Barry's like, Well, we only named special teams player of the week because we watch special teams film as a whole team together. We don't just, it's not just special teams folks. It's offense, defense, and special teams. It's a whole unit.
Hmm.
And hearing that, that's different because you're putting guys that are just going back to hard, smart, tough,
mm-hmm.
putting that as the centerpiece of your culture of like effort
mm-hmm.
is great. And I was blown away actually who they named his special teams player of the week.
Who was that? I didn't see it.
I thought it was going to be McAllister just because those punts were.
Yeah.
I was like, Cribbins, who are you at this point?
That's Nebraska for letting him walk. Because my God,
oh my gosh, he put a couple in Coffin's corner. It was amazing.
I was one thing I looked at when I looked at the box score after the game. I was just kind of like scrolling through the ESPN app, which sidebar, the new update is atrocious. However, they did this app, it's awful. Anyways, but I was looking at the statistics and I was like curious just about all that. And I went to see, I think I was going mostly to see like if how Porath did. Then I saw McAllister and ESPN app said he had average of 49, but it was closer to 50.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait a minute, what? We had a guy putting almost half the field each time. Like, what the heck? And it's like just like the starting position. That he was putting guys in or putting Ball State in was obviously, as we've seen on the flip side, is you know, you can just be like you're just like you're slamming your head into a wall because you can't get going because you're constantly like inside your own 20.
Right.
It's hard to, yeah, you have little room for error.
They weren't rugby punts. They had hang time and they had spin on them. So he definitely was controlling the trajectory. And there was a slight breeze out of the south. I mean, it got hot in the stadium there. The sun, but honestly, he had benign conditions and he was controlling the ball and putting it where he wanted. It was phenomenal. But going back to what Odom stated today, it was Merriweather they named special teams player of the week.
Really? Okay.
Because he was down there covering. I mean, he was hustling.
Nice.
So, I mean, I think this is how this team is going to earn players are going to earn time.
Mm-hmm.
And want to be, you know, hey, I want to be gunner on kickoff to go make a play and stuff like this. I think those are things that this culture is wanting to establish. I mean, I told you, texted you all, and I said they're running offensive linemen back out the second back on the kickoff return, not up front.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't think wedge blocks were still a thing, but I guess so.
Yeah.
But overall, I think establishing this, I feel better than last year because I feel like last year it was like, hey, we were patting ourselves on the back more than anything. And I don't see that right now.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of cautious optimism, which I mean, like, I see it both ways of, you know, of like where you – last year, I feel like it was it's FCS, but hey, you know, offense looked great, defense looked great. Like we get a week to prepare for Notre Dame, all that good stuff. Whereas this year, it's like, okay, like we know obviously the first week doesn't really mean anything, but Ball State, you know, I would think Ball State's going to beat Indiana State if they were to play each other. So a better opponent, as Big Time Bowler says, chirp, chirp. but. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just think like the fact that they were able to put some stuff on tape, I think that people just weren't expecting. I don't think people were expecting Brown to kind of sling it like he did. I know I didn't. Maybe it was just me just not having the faith I should in him. But I was expecting a lot more run heavy. But like I said, there's a lot of RPOs and kind of putting the decision on in Brown's hand to kind of figure it out. There was a couple times where definitely made a great read because Mockabee or whoever was back there got absolutely blown up. He was able to escape and showed he was able to really get out and use his legs, which was cool to see on that second touchdown where he was able just to get out of the pocket and just show off his athleticism, which, I mean, I feel like that's just as much as part of it. These first couple of games are just like, let's just give our Big Ten opponents in Notre Dame more stuff to have to look at and more stuff to have to worry about versus last year. It was so like, hey, they have no playmakers. We can just play underneath and we're going to be fine and we'll just stop the run and that's all they got because they had nothing else. is big time. Buller also says team looks very different than last year. If nothing else, you can tell they are extremely well coached. Only 3 penalties last year. ISU had like 12. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And that says this year hits the old saying of one game at a time. Yes, we won one with a good margin, but the older, more mature coach approved of, we have to fix X, Y, Z and get better here. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. You didn't see a whole lot of outside of like right after the game, a whole lot of celebrating. So they're definitely you can definitely tell they're on to obviously a lesser opponent this week with Southern Illinois. But it's, you know, there's,
he didn't sound that way with Tom in the press conference today.
You obviously watched it. Why don't you kind of talk a little about that?
Yeah. So Odom held Monday's press conference today, just with the media, talked about kind of the Wards Hall's injury. Hall's injury looked pretty bad.
Was that the one where he got rolled up on? Was that?
Yeah.
Because I was watching the highlights and there was no commentary for copyright, but it looked like it was one of the last plays where he just got one of our own guys rolled up on
him. Was out right away. So he's probably done for the year. Which, I mean, he was going to be a rotational guy anyways. Morissette coming back, it's going to probably help more. I would hope Morissette's back this week. It sounds like he's trending.
Trending in the right direction, yeah.
So, with that, those were the kind of the injury things they talked about. He talked about the awards. Mm-hmm. And again, it goes back to effort and what they're looking for. Then the last piece of it was, there was an article today released on CNBC about college revenue sharing because schools are paying this year with the $20.5 million cap. And he talked about that. And he talked about a little of the philosophy that I know he spoke about back in February, but he spoke a little bit more in color about it today in regards to if a guy wants a check, such as some of the guys last year, that's not happening. If that is your only motivator, Purdue's not for you.
Mm-hmm.
He did state that we are going to recruit high school. It sounds like we're going to go down a kind of a painter model. I'm going to just use it in Purdue terms of like, we're going to find the best bits for this program, the best culture fits. By the way, Painter and the basketball team was there. They walked right by your seat. So you missed that.
Yeah. That's where they usually sit. Yeah. They sit in that next section over. Yeah. When they have recruits in. Yeah.
And everyone stood up and gave a round of applause. And I was thinking about you the entire time. Be honest,
who's team of the game? Or they always do a team of the game.
I forget now.
I figured the basketball would probably will be there next week because of the night game or USC, just given the high stakes of the game. But
I forget now. I totally spaced. It wasn't the basketball team. I know that. I would have remembered.
Yeah. It looks like only a handful of guys, just based off the pictures we saw on social media, only about a handful of guys showed up. Anyways.
But going back to this thing, he talked about building a culture kind of very similar, I guess, pretty basketball fits, everything like this. Having one quarterback out of high school per year as a roster, like a scholarship spot.
Yep.
And then if we lose guys via going the transfer portal, it sounds like those are the guys that will be replaced via the transfer portal. So it's going to be like he's looking for a 1v1.
Yeah,
and everything else to be in-house development.
Yeah, which you can get. I mean, just similar to Payne, if you can get the right guys like in this revenue share, like you can, you know, if they're in a good situation, like the money's there to keep them happy. I mean, yes, if they want, you know, the high paying, like sure, someone's gonna be able to pay that for you, and if that's your thing, then hey, go for it, and more power to you.
He talked about that today, and he didn't name names, but why one team was on Saturday Night Football was because one player was starting that was getting $10 million a year.
Yeah.
He said, "Is that number true? We don't know." He's like, "There's nothing on it, and unfortunately, that's just not how we're going to do things here. We're going to pay you what we do believe." And he did say Babinski and Grimes and Chang are committed to this. So, you know, my thoughts last week of parking lot idea, that's never happening.
You can push that to next year.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Yeah.
I do believe that from what he's being stated, that they are fully engaged into this, mm-hmm. and they're wanting to, that money will never be a problem, he said, and capital will not be a problem moving forward. So that's, he did say that on Saturday too, in a different, not those exact words, but he did say that, hey, we are moving towards this, and Babinski's support and mm-hmm. Grimes's support has been, you know, unprecedented. And he said he can't thank them enough. I know Babinski gave him the game ball after the game.
Yeah, that was cool.
So, you know, I can definitely see, you know, our athletic department's committed to this. So I think, and he's committed to them.
Yeah.
So I don't fear a Jeff Brohm situation, because his alma mater did let him go.
Yeah, that's, I think, the only thing I go for him is they've, and the current guy is also doing pretty well too. But
he ain't going to Arkansas, kind of, and he ain't going to Oklahoma.
Right. He's kind of been around the block, and I think he's thankful for the opportunity to kind of have a, you know, P4 job again. And but that's, I mean, that's one thing that I kind of, I think when this whole rev share thing, or not even rev share, when NIL kind of started, I was a little nervous about, like, you know, gosh, would Purdue even survive? And as we see on the basketball side, they've gone through their best run we've ever seen in recent memory in this era that we thought they wouldn't survive in. But I think, yeah, they've really kind of put their money where their mouth is, no pun intended, just to kind of, I mean, are they going to, is Provable ever going to spend as much as Ohio State? No, probably not. But they can make it, you know, they can definitely try and close the gap and, you know, get those guys. Again, it's all about finding the right fit, of finding those guys that they can go to Ohio State and probably make some more money, but you may also sit the bench. And I mean, if that's your thing, then hey, go for it. But if you're hungry and want to prove something and also make good money too, then this may be the better place for you.
All right. I look at it this way. Line up Shire's team at Duke, and line them up against Painter's team.
Yeah.
I know that team at Duke's making a heck of a lot more money than Painter's team. And I guarantee we'd probably give them a game and probably win.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, we even saw it 2 years ago. Going on three now. When Braden Fletcher were freshman out in Portland. Any kind of closing thoughts before we kind of turn the calendar over a week and start talking Southern Illinois for what little we know about them?
Yeah, definitely. I would say, as Purdue fans, still remain optimistic. This is not last year. The guys. I will say, the one thing I did forget to mention, he was not happy with the sideline energy. And I was like, what? So I when you go to the game this weekend, please watch that and report back on it.
Yeah.
Because he did not think the sideline was engaged enough. And I was like, I don't know what else you would need, folks. But
yeah.
That was his other big call out that he was not happy about, with the penalties.
Okay.
So he said, well, were we smart for the most part? Yeah. Were we hard? A little bit, and tough, sure. But he's like, we still have a ways to go for what his barometer and his coaching staff's barometer is.
Yeah.
So that's closing thoughts. But great first. Great to be 1-0. Can't win them all if you can't win the first one.
Exactly. Any just outside of the game, did you walk around Rossade much at all before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the patio underneath is open now.
In the south end zone, yeah. Yes. That's pretty cool. So, yeah.
A little disappointed students didn't stay. And other than that, everything else was kind of, you know, same old, same old. I went to I forgot to get a poster, and I was right there. I was literally right there, and it just slipped my mind in the Boilermaker area by Mackey. A lot of kids, a lot of families expected.
Yeah, especially those first games. Yeah, it was a great weather day. Yeah, it wasn't too blazing hot.
Correct, but it was kind of disappointing students in this day.
When they head out after
halftime.
Yeah. Yeah, it's – yeah, I think it's probably the opponent in – yeah, I'm sure. I wonder if some even just went home for the long weekend. Who knows? But
I would have went home for the long weekend.
I know. I wouldn't either. I never did.
This ain't Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But
before we talk, do you want to do blind rankings?
Yeah, let's do some blind rankings this week. It goes with this week's theme of FCS.
Okay.
So I want, so as we're playing Southern Illinois and FCS school this week, by the way, Odom did say that this Southern Illinois team is ranked 20th in FCS. Kind of surprised me if that's the case. Yeah. And we're in for probably a good, decent game for a little while. Yeah. I would think probably conditioning is probably going to pan out afterwards. But I'm going to give you, outside of last year, because you used last year, I'm going to give you, I want you to rank the top five best performances Purdue's had against FCS schools in the last 15 years.
Oh, God, you're going to come around the...
Oh, you know where this one's going.
All right.
All right. So we're going to the 2022 season at Indiana State. We beat them 56-0.
56-0.
Yes. We went through the rosters the past couple of weeks, so I don't need to go through like stats or anything.
Yeah.
But I will do this because we didn't have this. The Indiana State team finished 2-11 that year. So
yeah, they have been a program that has struggled. Man,
I will say this. They are the second worst team in the Missouri Valley behind, in front of Western Illinois.
Yeah, Western Illinois is garbage. Yeah, like I think last year, because I know they played Indiana last year. I remember hearing that, like when they played that game, like they hadn't won a game in like 2.5 to 3 years or something. And they had won a game last year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they hadn't won a game like multiple years. They're just that bad. Man, it's hard to put like, I mean, obviously it's just a dominating performance. 22, that was a good team. I'll put that at 2 just because okay. Obviously David Bell, AOC, obviously a team that went to the Big Ten Championship and just dominated.
And that was just a mishandled in that game, too.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do the other Indiana State game on the list here. The 2015 game against Indiana State, where Hazel and squad won 38-14. That Indiana State team went on to finish the year 5-6, which was shocking.
Okay. Not the Indiana State game I thought you were going with. So 2015, gosh, such a miserable time. It's a miserable time.
That might have been the darkest year of Purdue football after. I would say that was probably that was the first darkest moment. Last year was the second darkest moment.
Yeah. I'll put that at 4. Obviously, you know, better team, better Indiana State team, I guess. But yeah, just not a dominating performance. And just, we just, after Marshall, it was just like, this is awful.
Yes, this was after the Marshall game.
I
probably should give you the dates of these games. So the next one was on September 3rd, 2016. This one was against Eastern Kentucky. Purdue went on and went 45-24. Eastern Kentucky went on to finish that year 3-8.
I'll put that at 3. So I've just got my bookends now, which I feel like I'm going to regret.
I don't know. So we'll do the other East. The other thing is FCS opponents. We really, outside, Southern Illinois, the last time we played them was in 2014.
Okay.
We usually have been playing Eastern Kentucky in Indiana State.
Yeah.
And a lot, I would say, at the end of the Jeff Brom era, we did not play FCS besides 2022.
No, and there was that whole, and there's also that whole rule when we couldn't have it, you couldn't have one on the schedule or something like that. Or it was, yeah, there was a whole Big Ten rule. So
that was a Kevin Warren call.
Yeah.
You're a fearless leader of your pair. So, next one, Eastern Kentucky, August, I think that should be 31st, 2012 against Eastern Kentucky. Purdue went on to win 48-6. Eastern Kentucky, though, went on to finish the year 8-3.
Okay. Obviously, that was the beginning of the end for Danny Hope that year.
It was the year we could have been Big Ten legends. No, leaders. Yep. Leaders. We were in the leaders, right?
Yeah. I'll go with that at my one. Yeah, because that was still a pretty decent team. Obviously made a bowl, kind of backed into it, but that team had some talent, that's for sure.
Yep. So this one will probably be your number five. It was September 20th, 2014. Another Hazel win against Southern Illinois, 135-13. Southern Illinois went on to finish the year 6-6.
Okay, so that's my five. Probably would have flipped my 5-4 then, just based off the how the teams finish. I thought you were going to go 2013 for sure.
No.
Because that would have been my five in a heartbeat. The fact that it took a game-saving pick by Ricardo to beat Indiana State by six.
We already did that Indiana State game, and we all did last year's Indiana State game, so I didn't want to bring either of those up.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But didn't want to give stats either because I feel like they're always inflated against these against FCS opponents. But, you know, Purdue's handled business. Is it when we should have handled business against some of these? Given that we played the bottom tier, I don't think we could be the North Dakota
State. Yeah.
But, you know, it's going to be interesting. If Southern Illinois, I couldn't find anything where Odom found that they were ranked 20th in saying that. But if they're ranked 20th, I'm kind of a little concerned.
Yeah. I don't know. It's with these FCS teams, it's tough. Because, I mean, as we saw with Kansas State, they took it to the wire in their game against an FCS team. So you hope that the experience of a lot of these guys pays off. You know, obviously, I think it also comes down to just like the practice this week. You know, if the coaches, obviously, if they act like, hey, you know, we're 1-0, you know, congrats, guys, and that can bleed in. But I don't think obviously the coaching staff is going to do that. They're going to treat it like they're 0-0 and it's the first game of the season type thing. And obviously, you have to respect your opponent. Yeah.
I don't think Tom's liking that mentality. Just hearing press conferences. I will, yes. They are treating it 1-0. Odom has, as he stated today in press conference, tremendous respect for Coach Hill or the SIU. What that program is, it's definitely, I would say, I mean, it's still FCS versus FBS, and especially a P4.
Right.
But again, FCS does have NFL talent at time to time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, could still be a long day.
Yeah, and obviously we don't know their roster, but I mean, as we've seen, like in today's age, like you can have guys who were 4-stars who end up playing at, you know, FCS teams for one reason or another, and yeah, they probably, I mean, they're there for a reason, but they were talented enough at one point to get said ranking. So you never know. It all, as we see it with basketball and everything, it's takes one game.
I mean, yeah. I mean, look at number one pick in the NFL, how he went his route. FCS, Washington State, to Miami, and the number one overall pick. So,
yeah.
Tyreek Hill, you know, same thing. Kamara, I think, did Kamara, like, and then he left Alabama and went to community college and didn't go to Tennessee.
I can't remember.
But they do produce. I don't know. If SIU's produced any true NFL talent or guys that have transferred and went to NFL, I mean, it's not one of those programs I thought about. But
let's see. Brandon Jacobs. He played for Auburn and Southern Illinois. Bart Scott.
Can't wait. Best line ever.
Let's see here. Nothing. None names that are like really jumping out at me.
And I, again, I, them being in Southern Illinois, I mean, it's got to be, and they're probably getting the lower level talent from St. Louis and things like that.
Yeah, Jeremy Chin from, he's playing for the Raiders. He was from SIU. PJ Jules on the Bengals. Ryan Neal. These are recent players. Ryan Neal for the Bucks, Mecole Pruitt for the Steelers.
Okay. I mean, so they have produced NFL talent.
Yeah, they've produced 42 players who have gone on to play in the NFL, according to their websites.
Okay.
Current, yeah, current here, current actives.
I feel like they almost have more actives than we do at this point, given their injury history at the NFL.
Yeah, those are the Jeremy Chinn, PJ Jules, Ryan Neal, Mecole Pruitt. Those are the current active players. 28 players have been selected in a draft all time from SIU. So
okay, I think again they're not North Dakota State, which
right
North Dakota State would probably give us a game if not beat us.
Yeah, but,
you know, I wouldn't take this lightly. I don't think this coaching staff is, nor do I don't think it sounds like the players are.
Yeah,
they're not. Based on what he was saying today, like they know that they have things to work on and things to clean up. It'll be interesting this week how much they put on tape that they want USC to see.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Singleton did play in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if snaps get split that way. You're wondering what you're going to see when you play USC the next week, because I don't think, I want to sit here and say that it's going to be like NFL preseason. They're going to play vanilla defense, vanilla. I think they might sprinkle some things in, but I also think this coaching staff's more concerned like, hey, we got a process, we got a program to build. Let's take care of business, get a win, and move to the next game.
Yeah.
So
I think also one thing they maybe have in their favor is the fact that it's a night game, so you just kind of have that like, you know, the energy of a night game anyways and kind of a big game feel despite it being Southern Illinois. I don't know. I think the crowd will be amped. So I think that'll help a lot too.
It will. And they practiced a couple weeks under the lights and he talked about like that. They've talked about putting meetings a little bit later in the day.
Yeah.
Making sure like, you know, kids are ready. He did say that, you know, this staff knows what to do now from having all the Friday night games late at UNLV last year.
Yeah, that's true.
To prepare better for these.
Yeah.
So I think the staff will have a game plan. You know, they're probably not going to be sitting in the, you know, hotels all staying together watching College Game Day in every single game. I think there'll be, you know, active time before the game. I'm hoping the students stay around and show up.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he is definitely wanting the brigade to, you know, be a large factor in coming into Ross-Ade. I'm glad he hasn't renamed it the Furnace yet. but I mean, we'll see. I think you're going to be first show of it. I'll be interested to see if they run more out of the RPOs. Instead of throwing, because definitely those RPOs were more throwing because those guys weren't firing off the ball like they would be if it was a running RPO.
Yeah, I think part of that might have been, again, kind of giving taking what Ball State was giving them, just the fact that when you watch, I mean, they were stacking the box pretty heavily, so I wonder if that was just like obviously your first read is going to be a throw, more than likely. So, it's going to be interesting to see.
That's wonder. I wonder when Maccabee passes Markell. He's going to. He needs 71 yards this week to pass Markell. I wonder if they'll put that up on the video board for you all to cheer on.
I feel like they don't unless he breaks it. I feel like I haven't seen that before where they've put like the tracker essentially.
Well, no, they didn't even talk about it. He broke it this weekend and like to get an 8.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's true.
I wonder if they're waiting until he gets in the top 5.
Maybe. Yeah. It's a good point. I don't know.
You'll love coming out the crazy train. I saw you drop crazy that. Train,
yeah. Yeah. I was hoping they'd do something like that just because of obviously trains and passing of Ozzy and they've done it in the past before, but it's always cool. And it looks like they've added more of the tunnel, which looked cool.
Yep.
Team looked great running out, and as you said, they were pretty fired up when they ran out, so that's always good. We can go ahead and What is your prediction, score prediction, player of the game, and your
let's go to Carl's thing real quick.
Oh,
you want to pull Carl's thing up?
Yeah, Carl on YouTube. The RPO plays all started from stationary position at center of the line. I think moving left or right would be more effective.
They were, but they wasn't moving the pocket like aggressively that way. That's kind of what I was wanting, because there's times when they had Brown roll out, and it was a couple of the ones he was wide open and threw it right across the back of his body, and I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
I think in those looks in that formation, especially we're going to do read option, because they definitely, there was times where he was reading read option that the line would fire off. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be the interesting thing. I don't think seeing that till USC though is going to happen. I just don't see it happening this week. They might just run it straight up the gutter off tackle with Mockaby and Harris.
Yeah. I think the more kind of variation you can put on tape just to make the teams, your opponent, especially going to Big Ten play, prepare for, the better. Without giving away too much. But we'll see.
Obviously, Brown doesn't put those thrown across their body.
Yeah.
More on tape.
Yeah.
Those are definitely picks in Big Ten play.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. So what's your score prediction, player of the game, and your spicy and or bold prediction?
Score prediction. I'm going to go 42-17.
Okay. Purdue. Do we know a line on this game yet?
I actually haven't looked that up real quick.
Again, the ESPN app doesn't have that information anymore for whatever stupid reason.
Which shocking with ESPN bet, no free ads, but
unless they're trying to push it to their
is there a line with FCS?
I feel like there still usually is. Let me see if I can find a tweet about it.
I just don't remember ever them being lined with FCS teams.
I swear there was in the past. I'm trying to find this great podcasting.
I know. I'm looking it up. Player of the game. I'm going to go Coffee again. I'm going to keep riding this train. I think he's going to have double digits tackles in a game. Probably, I would say 6 to 8 solo and a couple assisted to get him up to double digits.
Okay.
Spicy prediction. I have to go with what I stated earlier the year. I think Mockaby has a Ralph Bolden kind of game this game.
Okay.
I think it's over 200 yards rushing, and moves himself way up on the
all-time list.
All-time career list. I think that put him in.
Yeah.
Would that put him in fifth this week if he goes over 200?
I haven't looked at the standings in a minute. I'm gonna go, man. So we put up 30. I'm gonna go 35. I'll go 38. So go 38. I'll go 38-17.
Okay.
Player of the game. Man.
If you want another player of the game, I'm not going to lie. Charles Correa looks really good.
Yeah, he looks really good. Now. I think I might go offense since you went defense. I'm going to go with Michael Jackson. Yeah, he kind of had that first one. We'll see. He gets a couple more this game. Get to see a few more Michael Jackson celebrations out there.
I will not be surprised if he runs back a punt return.
Yeah.
He was timid at the start, but he definitely got more comfortable as the game went on and getting under the ball and not letting the ball lose field position. So
good. And spicy or bold prediction. I'm gonna say Boilers pick off two passes. Didn't have a turnover last game. We're gonna
Odom did say that on Saturday.
Yeah, we're gonna force two on the defensive side, and at least two in their picks for sure.
Who they buy?
What?
Who do you think they'll be buying?
I'm gonna say one's by Crew. I like the way he flies around. And then I'm going to say Manny Powell over the middle.
Okay. I would say Charles Correa was their place too. So either one of those guys.
All right.
Yeah. I couldn't find the line while you were looking.
I was trying to find it because usually there's like a tweet or something that we see before, like every week, but I just haven't seen it.
I don't remember, like, because the thing I remember with Alabama and like Citadel, I didn't remember them putting lines on those games.
Yeah. Want to pick some games?
Yeah, let's go for it.
We'll start with Big Ten. Oh man, must see TV Friday night, 7:30 Eastern on Big Ten Network. You got the Western Illinois Leathernecks versus the Northwestern Wildcats. 0-1 versus 0-1 after Northwestern got shellacked at Tulane. I mean, another good thing out of the weekend was that Purdue did not look like the worst team in the Big Ten. I think that went to Northwestern and who else? UCLA. Awful. UCLA.
They also played Utah though.
They did. Yes. In fairness to them, yes. But yeah.
Give me the Cats. They should not be losing the Leathernecks here.
Yeah. Okay. Also, Friday night you got Northern Illinois at Maryland. 7:30 ESPN. How are these both at 7:30 on the Big Ten Network? Whatever.
Who was this game again?
Maryland hosting Northern Illinois. Also, before you answer, Carl had another Saturday was a great game. 0-1 sports like penalties, turnovers, special teams, disasters. Purdue is not beating itself. Yeah, I think that's the key the whole season is if Purdue just cannot just avoid beating itself, they'll be in a lot of games.
Yep. Man, Ethan ain't there anymore.
I know he got a little bit of run in their blowout game against Western Illinois.
I know I would pick NIU if he was there, but no, give me Terps.
Yeah, I think Terps.
Do you think they add to the boneyard if they win this game?
Absolutely. Let's see here. Oh God, noon on Saturday, FIU at number 2 Penn State.
Why is Penn State playing these folks? FIU.
I want to say
something about that game on Saturday when I got back. I don't know why CBS put that game on. Maybe it was because Brock Purdy's younger brother was Nevada's quarterback. But that game was so bad.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
Yeah, Penn State large. A sneaky good game noon on ESPN on Saturday. Number 12 Illinois at Duke. Both 1-0. Kind of Illinois' kind of first test in a way. I mean, I don't know much about Duke, but it's power four.
I know I'm the only probably Purdue fan saying this, but I picked them to go to the Big Ten championship. So gotta stay with Illinois here.
Yeah, I think Illinois wins. I think they give them a little bit of a scare, but I think Illinois pulls it out in the end. Noon on FS1 on Saturday. Kennesaw State travels down to Bloomington to face number 20 Indiana. Their Old Dominion game. Old Dominion scored late to make it a 13 or 14 point game, but it was closer than I thought it was going to be.
Is the quarterback's name Mendoza, right?
Yeah. He played for Cal. Yeah, he's getting a lot of first round hype.
I didn't see that looking at his stats. man, if I had more info on Kennesaw State, I would hope they'd win.
Yeah.
IU, unfortunately.
Yeah. I agree. Rivalry game here on Fox on Saturday at noon. Iowa travels to Ames to Iowa State.
Iowa did not look that great this week.
No, they did not. Yeah. No offense.
Oh, my gosh. Was Ferentz's boy the issue?
You think?
I'm going to go with Cyclones here.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah, I think they're 2-0. So they've kind of got a little bit going for them after that week zero win.
Do you think they ask him to step away after he breaks Woody Hayes' Big Ten record of wins?
I think it depends on kind of where he's at. If they're hovering around that like 6-6, 7-5, yeah. But if he's still pushing, I mean, 8-10 wins, it's hard to do that. I mean, look at Nebraska; they haven't done it since.
I know, but I also think like that he made that program in this decade. I know.
Yeah.
Decade, century, not decade.
Yeah.
Century, 2000.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're having a hard time just wanting to walk away from him, but
yeah.
I if I was him, I would want to move on, but that's all his life.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm taking Iowa State in that one as well. Noon on Big Ten Network, Northwestern State travels to Minnesota. Minnesota is going to wipe the floor with them.
Yeah, row that boat.
Yeah, Grambling at Ohio State, after which Ohio State's still only ranked number 3. Is this not updated?
I don't know. But, no, it's not, yeah. Because remember, North Carolina plays tonight. They're playing right now.
They're playing right now.
Yep.
Yeah, they're going to, after that impressive win over Texas, they're going to wipe the floor with Grambling. Oklahoma State at number 7, Oregon, 3:30 on CBS.
Oregon, large.
Yeah, Miami, Ohio at Rutgers. Rutgers should take care of business there. Middle Tennessee should. Middle Tennessee State at Wisconsin. Wisconsin also didn't look great.
And their quarterback's out potentially for a week or two. I thought it looked serious, him getting all carried off the sideline.
Yeah. Yeah, Wisconsin should win that one, but if they don't, oh man. And then game day, 7:30 on ABC. Number 14 Michigan travels to Norman, Oklahoma to face the number 18 Sooners.
Is that on NBC?
ABC.
Oh, it's on ABC. Oh, because it's at an SEC school. That's why it's on ABC.
Yeah.
I didn't know if NBC had it then for the night game. Give me. He has all the tools. If Underwood can figure it out, my gosh, that Michigan team can be devastating.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watched any of that game, but I was kind of like,
this. Not even a chance to.
He looks like a raw Cam Newton.
Great. So, can't wait.
Yeah. 3 years of this. Wonderful. Can't wait for November.
Let me see. I'm going to take Oklahoma just being the home team. Early test for Michigan. Not that big of a deal if they lose, and also,
well, I think Sherrone Moore might be out this game too, because I can't remember when he's starting the suspension.
I don't think he is, because he talked about how, because that's where he played. He talked about how it's not feeling like a homecoming to him, sort of thing. Okay. So I think he's coaching that game.
He must be starting his suspension week 3 then.
Probably. But give me Oklahoma in that one. Also Saturday at 7:30, Akron at Nebraska. Nebraska kind of escaped a close one against Cincinnati last Thursday.
Is this the NBC night game?
Nope. That is Boston College at Michigan State.
Oh, thank goodness. I was going to say this.
Which actually could be a pretty good game.
Could be. I was going to say this TV deal I do not like anymore that Kevin Warren's put together. I forget what game you said, but.
Akron and Nebraska.
Oh, yeah. Nebraska. Yeah.
Georgia Southern at USC. USC should win that one. Boston College at Michigan State. Give me Sparty just because they're at home.
I think, Sparty, this is actually a decent game for the night game.
And this one's also intriguing. 8 o'clock on CBS Sports Network, UCLA at UNLV.
Give me UCLA. That UNLV
really
looks – go look at some stat lines.
I know they escaped. Yeah, they barely beat Idaho State. They beat Sam Houston decently last week. I'm gonna go UNLV just be different.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Nico's just too much by himself for this game.
Yeah. And then a wrap up 7:30, Big Ten After Dark, 11 o'clock. UC Davis travels to Washington.
In Washington.
Yeah. Some other top 25 as of right now games that are interesting. Can Kent State make it 2 in a row at Texas Tech?
No. No. I'm happy their streak ended, but no.
Ole Miss travels to Kentucky. We got an early season SEC game.
Yep. I thought the ABC game was.
Yeah. It's 3:30 ABC.
Okay. I will take Ole Miss in this one.
I agree.
Is Mark Stoops up worn out as welcome at Kentucky, or do you think he's just they're happy with what they have?
I probably have what they got right now. That's really the only good game this week.
No, week two wasn't really is not really
good. Yeah, this week. Not really. Before we wrap up, we can pay some bills. Do you have the
I do.
Yeah.
The so Boiler Breakdown is brought to you. Yeah, Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mush, serving Boilermakers since 1993. Mad Mush is located in the heart of West Lafayette and is well known for the home of the original cheese stick. Whenever I or Evan like to visit, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month. This month's pizza of the month is Bottoms Up. It is their version of upside down pizza. So what they're doing is covering the dough with lots of mozzarella cheese and then drizzling their own traditional pizza sauce over the top of that and allowing you to add your two favorite toppings. What are your two favorite toppings? I should ask you that.
I'm basic. I'm a sausage pepperoni guy. I'm pretty, I like other toppings, but like that's just my go-to to be safe. Yeah.
I'm a green peppers and onion kind of guy.
I like green peppers. Not a big onion guy. Hate olives. I'm pretty basic.
Well, those are our two favorite toppings, but you can choose your own two favorite toppings. So next time you're in town, stop and tell them Boiler Breakdown sent you with a $5 off break five coupon code that you need to use online when ordering your pizza. So again, great pizza, great time when you ever go great to Mad Mush.
Yep.
Glad they're sponsoring and supporting this program. So Mad Mush, feed your head.
Absolutely. And also good to have the shop back on board. Making Hometown Apparel since 2011. Started out in the garage. Now I've got three retail locations around the Indianapolis area. You got one in Carmel, one in Broad Ripple, and then one in downtown Indy. Whether you're a Purdue fan, IU fan, Ball State, Butler, Indiana State, DePaul,
Wabash,
they've got you covered. They've got Indianapolis football, blue and gold basketball. They've done all things Indiana, state of Indiana. Some really awesome stuff. Actually, even have Ohio State stuff too. Whether you want a shirt, sweatshirt, hat, hoodie, they've got you covered. Incredibly comfortable. I've got the basic logo tee they came out with last year. I love it. Super soft. Fits great. But if you're shopping online, can't make it down to Indy, you can go to shopindy.com. Use promo code BREAKDOWN for free shipping on your entire order. Boilermaker own. Great to have them back for another year. Great people, great products. Say I love them, and they always come out with new stuff. So check out our socials. We'll be always supporting them. Any final thoughts, Aaron, before we give the people back their evening?
No, I think it's exciting to be 1-0, better than being 0-1. Mm-hmm. I think if they are what Odom says and ranked 20th, I think this might be a good, decent game. Under the radar. Hope you enjoy your time. Back.
So what's the weather supposed to be like on Saturday?
It's supposed to be cool. So it's going to be hoodies. What? Hoodie.
Love it. It's my favorite.
Hoodie time
my
for
absolute
you.
Favorite. Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. Oh, yeah. Looking forward to it. Yes, I'll be back for my first game back since I didn't go to a lot of the end of the year games last year. I can't remember. This might be maybe Nebraska. I can't remember what my last game was last year.
I don't think you went after homecoming last year.
At least I didn't go to the Oregon game. Yeah, I didn't go. And then there's something I came to, I just couldn't go to, but I was sick for the Oregon game. But yeah, happy to be back. Thanks for holding down the fort while we were gone. But I'll be back cheering on for the four of us. So with that being said, appreciate everybody for watching, tuning in. Make sure you like, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, any podcast platform you listen to. Follow us on Facebook, X, or Instagram at Boiler Break Pod. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we'll see you next week, hopefully after another Boilermaker victory over the Salukis.
Yep.
Boiler up and hair down.